This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
That's crazy. Well, yeah, it's crazy. Things in the kingdom of God seem crazy. They just do. Oftentimes, the walk of faith seems just crazy. Well, maybe it seems crazy, but maybe it's God. Maybe it's God, not crazy. Oftentimes, people go crazy because they want to be crazy, thinking that somehow the walk of faith is crazy. Well, to many, it is. But to God, no, it's the God kind of faith. In fact, the Bible talks about the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith might be a little different than what we think about faith, because there's always a tension between faith and our flesh. A great tension between our faith and our flesh. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to talk a little bit about this business about the walk of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, the scripture says, for he that comes to God must not only believe that he is, but that he's a rewarder of them that seek him. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to be talking about this matter of faith. It seems crazy, but maybe it's God. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, Talk that Transforms, and today is no exception. So I'm so glad that you've joined us. Again, today on Viewpoint, we're confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective. And one of the deepest issues that we have is, what does it mean to live by faith? What does it mean to live by faith? To the average, to the natural human mind, it seems utterly crazy. But maybe from God's viewpoint, it's not crazy at all. And so we say here every day on this program, viewpoint determines destiny. Our viewpoint does determine destiny. It really does. So I want to always have the viewpoint that is consistent with God's viewpoint. But how do we know what God's viewpoint really is? Well, we have the Word, and we have his ways, which are the Holy Spirit looking over the Word to perform it. The Holy Spirit is watching over the Word of God to perform it. And so, indeed, we want to see how God is working and will work in and through our lives and through the lives of others if only we're willing to take God at his word. Most people will say that's crazy. I don't think so. So it's good to have you on the program today. We have a special guest joining us, and I believe that he is connecting with us even as we speak. His name is Juan Martinez. Juan, it's good to have you on the program.
Oh, man, it's an honor to be with you guys. Thank you so much. It's an honor.
Well, I was getting concerned that perhaps we were going to miss you, and that would seem crazy, too, for me to go out on the air here. That would just be crazy in itself, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir. That wouldn't have been that. That would have been a no. That's not God, right?
Right. Yes, sir. Well, you're an inspiration, yes, my brother.
Thank
and very
you so much,
often
man.
in this workaday world that we're in, everything seems same-o, except the threatenings and slaughterings that are coming from Islam, that are coming against the Jewish people, the economic problems that are occurring around the world, the problems between Ukraine and Russia and in Gaza, and all of these things that are coming upon us. But most of us live in a world that is relatively same-o. We
Absolutely.
Get up in the morning, we brush our teeth, we comb our hair or whatever hair we have left, and you know, we eat our breakfast and we go about a routine. But the problem with that routine is it's very easy for us to slip out of the understanding that we're ambassadors for the kingdom of God every single day,
Hallelujah.
Every single minute. And if that be
Hallelujah.
True, then something is going to happen in my thinking, in my ways, the choices that I make that likely are going to seem pretty crazy to people out there. But isn't that part of what makes the Christian life exciting?
Amen. It does. It, you know, It's interesting that most aren't walking in everything that God has already predestined for us. We got to define certain things, you know? So when I talk about that's crazy, no, that's God, is that we have a large amount of people who love the that's crazy. They just don't like the that's God. And we're chasing.
Well, a lot of people will think that everything that is crazy is God, and that which is a little bit more mundane couldn't possibly be God. So we can get very confused.
Yes, sir. You know, when we talk about the supernatural, I don't mean spooky or sensational, right? I mean the life of the Spirit working through the believer, basically transforming what's natural into something godly. And I think, you know, that's what's going to be a witness to the world, when we're actually walking by faith and not by sight. We're actually like Paul in Ephesians, where, I don't know if you guys remember the verse where it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And, you know, even the selfish person likes the word immeasurably more, but he's talking about everything heaven has to offer through the Spirit, peace, joy, revelation, salvation, transformation, supernatural provision, you know, divine purpose. And the interesting part is that Paul is writing from a prison cell, and yet he's speaking like a free man filled with faith.
Well, you were once in a prison cell yourself, weren't you, brother?
I was, yes. This is why I totally understand this, right? It's like you're in prison, but you're not in prison. This guy is talking faith-filled. Think about it. He's in a prison, and he's not like, oh, my circumstances, and oh, you know, how my day is going. He is like, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, right? Because the place he's in is not really the place he's in inwardly, right, according to this verse. And yes, I spent 10 years behind physical bars, 23 years behind the bars. I always say the bars I had around my heart.
Uh-huh.
I wrote a devotional at one time called Prison Break, and everybody thought it was like my prison story. And I said, no, it's actually for the church. They're incarcerated.
Well, you indeed, know, indeed, that's true. There is a same-o, kind of churchianity,
yes,
that keeps people, in effect, bars, tight bars, and you know, you go to church, you say, I believe the Bible, and so on. You say, I gave my life to Christ 40 years ago, but you never know it by looking at the way people live. You'd never know it by the way they think. And God says, my thinking is not your kind of thinking. My thoughts
Absolutely.
Are not your kind of thoughts. And so just to say that kind of thing in today's world seems crazy, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. Completely. I love that. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. His ways are higher. You know, it says, as unto the heavens to the earth.
Well, that's true. So you wrote the book, That's Crazy, No, That's God. We're going to take a look at what the implications of that might be in for each one of our lives in a time when everything else seems upset and upsetting. Perhaps, maybe, God wants to upset the normality of our world and get us into the spirituality he has for us.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the fourth commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Today we are joined by Juan Martinez with his book, That's Crazy, No, That's God. It's a $20 book, yours for $18 on our website, saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Now, if you were to take a look at the Old Testament, and you go, you start with, say, a fellow by the name of Abraham, or a fellow by the name of Noah, or a fellow by the name of David, or a fellow by the name of Gideon, or any of these fellows there in the Old Testament, when you take a look at them, friends, you get a bit excited and you say, how can that kind of thing happen? How can God speak to a fellow by the name of Noah, who is about 500 years old, and he tells him to build an ark? Now, that's crazy. That's utterly crazy. I mean, it's crazy. He's wanting to build an ark. God tells him it's going to be about 450 feet long. It's going to be about 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, and nothing like that exists, and it hasn't even rained.
It hasn't even rained.
It hasn't even rained, and God tells him, build an ark. Now, you, by the way, friends, did you know God's told you to build an ark too? That's right. He's told you and I to build an ark in our time. What kind of an ark? An ark of faith. That's what the kind of ark is that we're supposed to be building. Jesus was the ultimate ark of the covenant, and then he gave us the example as to how to build an ark in our time, and we do that. Fathers are to build the ark right there in their homes by raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord by faith, trusting that the God of Noah is the same God that he has. And all of that today. See, we need to be inspired. We need to be encouraged. We need to be built up in our faith. And that's why without faith, it's impossible to please God. So get a copy of the book, That's Crazy, No, That's God. When the Supernatural Becomes Your Reality. Juan, do you have any kids?
Yes, I do. I have 6 children.
Whoa.
And a dog.
So you're a father of many nations. Well, at least you have a quiver full.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
How old are your kids?
Man, the oldest one starts at 36, and my youngest is 20. Everything in between. We got 34. We got 33. We were like the Hispanic Brady Bunch. I had 3. My wife had 3. We came together, and there's the Brady Bunch,
okay,
right? And
well,
so we have a dog named Max.
All right. Well, at least you didn't have a dog named God. So that wouldn't be supernatural. That would be blasphemous.
That would be blasphemous. Yes, sir.
Okay, so what are you doing? What have you done to work in the lives of those kids to help them to understand the nature of God and the nature of faith?
Absolutely. You know, interesting enough for me, as I said, I had a real crazy lifestyle, so my kids came into my life later in life. The best thing I've ever done that I would say, and I'm always telling people, fruit is always great. Being a witness to Jesus is the best thing you could do. What does that mean? Well, you know, I never wanted to be preaching a message and them look at me like, I don't see that in real life. So the tension is always for them to actually see that I am walking with God. So everything, we have conversations about things. I ask them questions about things, and we've constantly walked this out so that, you know, we're pastors of a church, and I never wanted them to see a form of godliness while we deny the power thereof. So we meet all the time, and we talk all the time, and we're always, you know, I love my wife being a good example of a marriage. I believe that a marriage pretty much is you could tell someone's salvation by the way they're married. I believe it's a reflection of your salvation. Two people becoming one. And so we've done really work really hard at pretty much showing them our life as an example to what a testament is that our life is in Christ.
Well, in this, I think that's so beautiful because marriage is on God's mind. It has been from the beginning. He formed the first one, and he's going to perform the last one with the marriage supper of the Lamb out of Revelation chapter 21. So we see God has had marriage on his mind. The Apostle Paul said that marriage is the earthly illustration of the life of Christ in his church. So if doesn't manifest itself in a kind of reality where spirituality is linked with the normality seeming of marital relationship, people are going to wonder, are you really a follower of Jesus Christ? What does that really look like? So you're right.
Absolutely.
You mentioned the word tension. Tension between faith and the flesh. Between faith and the flesh. That's the life that we live in, this tension between faith and the flesh, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's always a tension there, right? I like, you know, we talk a lot in the book about walking by faith and not by sight.
Right.
A lot of times you hear people say that, you know, the opposite of faith is fear. I don't believe that. I believe that the opposite of faith is sight. And I believe that sight will actually cause you to live in the realm of the enemy, which is fear. You know, the spirit of fear. It's not just a feeling and an emotion. It's not just being afraid. There's the spirit of fear, which is the enemy's realm. I believe that sight is the flesh's realm, and faith, as you said earlier, is God's realm. And there's always this tension because you... This is why I believe everything in Scripture tells us what we do kind of wrong, in a sense. We're supposed to be walking by faith and not by sight. And there's this tension because most of the time we look at things through a natural lens or by sight. But sight will keep you stuck, and faith will always move you forward. The enemy is always trying to talk to you out of living out of faith, and he'll use fear, logic, delay. So it's really important when we think about walking by faith, because the meaning in it is to have a lifestyle, a habit, a direction, right. Our daily decisions. Sight, you know, it's how you see what you see, right?
Well, we have an illustration of that one right back there in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. God performed the first marriage, and he intended for Adam and Eve to come together to fulfill his purpose to bring forth fruit. For the kingdom of God to replenish the world, and he gave them everything that they possibly needed. Everything was provided in the Garden of Eden, which was an illustration of the best that God had to give. So then he says, but there's one thing, just one thing you can't do. You cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because of the day you eat of it, you're going to surely die. So what does Satan do? No sooner had Adam and Eve been brought together in marriage than the Bible says, then the serpent. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Then the serpent. And what did he do? He said, hath God said? That was the biggest question that hovers over our lives today. Hath God said. And our reasoning, our logic, our reasoning, our natural senses and so on always mitigate against the right answer. So we say, hath God said? Yes, but. So that's what Satan did. He introduced the yes, but into our lives that caused the agony of sin that has prevailed to this very day and for which we need a Savior. So here's Eve. She's there, and Satan comes to her because of her feelings. See, she's women are more feeling-oriented, so he came to Eve and asked her, hath God said? She said, yes, he did say. But he said, but what you didn't know is that in the day that you eat of this, you're not going to surely die. You're going to be like God. Oh, that sounds pretty good.
Yes.
So he introduced the fruit to her, and the Bible says she looked at it and saw that it was good to the eyes. In other words, she had sight faith. Sight faith. And sight faith is a killer, isn't it?
It is. It totally kills, man. It destroys things. You know, I always tell people, like, When we're looking by sight, and now we start stepping into the spirit of fear, you know, spirit of fear always paralyzes your faith.
It does.
Spirit of God always produces faith. The spirit of fear will distort your truth. It will focus on what can go wrong. It is rooted in insecurity. The spirit of God produces faith. It reveals truth. It focuses on who's in control, and it's rooted in identity. If we're not careful, sight, which puts us in the enemy's realm, of I tell people, look, there's usually things in fear that block your that's crazy, no, that's God life, like fear of failure.
Right.
Or fear of rejection, or fear of the unknown, or fear of inadequacy.
Well, we've got all of these fears coming upon us today. In fact, Jesus, if you look at it, we did a program a couple of weeks ago on anxiety.
Yes, sir.
People are anxious. Young people are anxious. Generation Z is called the anxious generation. And Jesus said that just before his second coming, men's hearts would fail them for fear for the things that are coming upon the earth, which means they're not walking by faith.
No.
They're walking by fear. They're walking by sight and by their feelings. So our feelings mitigate against faith, don't they?
Yes, sir. You see, feelings are tricky because they could lie, right? Feelings could lie. You know, I was talking to some folks here recently and just the times that we're in, and I felt like I was praying one day, and the Lord began to speak to me about Matthew 24:10, where it says, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." It says, many shall fall away, right? In Matthew 24, he warns the disciples about the last days. He lists wars, rumors. He talks about false prophets. He talks about persecution. But then he said something that we overlook a lot, and it's many will be offended. That word, many will fall away, is that many will be offended. And I believe that offense is one of the greatest end-time weapons by the enemy.
Well, and it has to do with our feelings. It has to do with the way we view things. We don't have a God view. We have a worldly view. People are always talking about our worldview. And I've said to many people, the biggest problem we have is not our worldview. It's our God view.
It's our God view all day long. I mean, that's faith, right? By faith, you're approved. And I believe that faith, you know, when I think about, you know, it tells us that we should be known by the way we love. And even those words, faith worketh through love, right? When I look at a word love or agapo or God's kind of love,
right,
I always think about the word agape. I always think about the word agapo, which means to love. I like to say God's preferred choice. When I'm walking in faith, I am abiding in God. I'm aligning with his heart's desires. And then I'm actually walking in authority. But to be connected to him, I have to move by faith. And a lot of times I think we get so caught up in what the world is saying and what our feelings are saying. And, you know, you got to always run your feelings through truth. This is the importance of not my truth and your truth, but the truth. And until we can identify what the truth is, which we all know is Jesus, and if we go back to fear or anxiety or any of those things, they're usually fueled by lies. And feelings will lie. Feelings will always lie. Feelings will tell you something. Feelings are a great indicator of what's going on in your heart, but it doesn't mean it's true.
If you live by your feelings, you're going to be crazy.
You're not going to live by faith, crazy.
But you will be crazy. It'll drive you nuts.
All day long. See, when that's crazy, the supernatural aspect of even the book, That's a completely different type of crazy you're talking about, right?
Right.
Yeah, you're
going to
look crazy from a worldly perspective. When we step into things, you know, even the Noah's Ark with no rain and none of those things, I think the amazing part of that story is that sometimes we'll look at it through a natural lens. Let's say we were back in the Noah's time. First of all, as preachers, we probably would have said, man, your sermon's not that good. Nobody's getting saved except your family. We would, if we're judging this through natural lenses, God knows exactly what he's doing in our obedience to what he's asking us
to
do.
Well, no, wait a minute. You just introduced a word that is the most hated word in the church today, and that's the word obey. The word obey is the most hated word in the church today. It's it's deemed to be a virtual four-letter word. It's rationalized as if somehow that's legalism. But it's only when you obey that you're under authority. And if you're not under God's authority, you're going to be under Satan's authority, and it ain't going to work out so well. That would be crazy, too. We'll be right back after this with Juan Martinez. Friends, hopefully you'll be encouraged by our program here today, strengthened, perhaps challenged. $18 and put his wonderful book in your hand. It's on our website, saveus.org.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Noah was a fool in the eyes of the culture around him. They thought he was absolutely crazy building an ark. He actually hired men to come alongside and help him build it. And while he was doing it, they were mocking him. You're crazy.
Yeah.
And then along came a fellow by the name of Abraham. God called him to leave Ur of the Chaldees at 75 years of age and go to the place that God would tell him to go. His family thought he was nuts, and he was led to go out to a place that he didn't even know where he was going. And then, as if that were not enough, there was a fellow by the name of David.
Yeah.
Here he was, a punk kid, and his father sent him out to feed, to take some goodies to his brothers that were out there fighting Goliath and the Philistines there over the Valley of Elah. And he got there, and he was shocked by what he saw. He saw all of the valiant men of Israel shrinking in terror and talking to themselves in fear about this fella, Goliath, that was taunting them every single day for 40 days. 40 days he had all of the valiant men of Israel trembling in their boots, including the king of Israel, who stood head and shoulders above all the people. And David came into that scene, and he heard the same words. Listen to what the Bible says. He heard exactly the same words that the children, that the soldiers of Israel had been hearing for 40 days. And here was his response, radically different than that of the soldiers around him. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Let me at him." So what did the soldiers try to do? Well, they brought him to King Saul because they were so shocked at this crazy kid who was just a kid, and he was speaking like that. How could he have such boldness? Well, then Saul said, "Okay, well, if that be true, let's put some armor on him. In other words, let's take him out of the realm of faith and trust in God and put our usual weapons on him." David said, "No, I can't do that. That's not how I operate. I operate the way God told me to operate." And so he went out in front of Goliath, and with five smooth stones, and all it took was one, and the 9.5-foot giant fell to his face before the Philistines and all Israel. Because of that, it launched David into the realm in which God declared that the throne of his Savior, Yeshua Jesus Christ, would rule upon the throne of that man.
Good.
He was crazy. Think about that. Think about that, my friends. One, when you think about that, I mean, the majority of Christians today, even the pastors, would have said, "This guy's nuts. Don't even pay any attention to him."
All day long. You know, the difference between coming in your name or coming in the name of the Lord, right? Here you have this young boy who, I believe, you know, is totally dependent upon the God he serves. And I think, again, we're living in a time, you know, I always tell people, like, when we were selling drugs and we were doing stuff before I got saved, we were coming
Well, that'll
in
make
the name
you crazy.
Faith. Yeah, that totally will make you crazy. But we were coming in the name of Satan, and we had a common thing, which was power, money, all those things. And we went and took territory. But yet, in the body of Christ right now, I see a lot of offense, a lot of people arguing about a bunch of stuff that probably Jesus would have never argued about. And then I don't see us taking territory. You know, some are. I'm not saying that's everybody. But I'm saying this kid can face any giant because his dependency is in the Lord. You know, and so sometimes when I talk to people about the that's crazy, no, that's God message, I tell them the issue is that, you know, biblically, we had a man in the Bible. I know you remember this guy. His name was Nicodemus. And you see faith and sight even with Nicodemus.
Oh, yeah.
Because in John 3.
And yet he was a member of the Sanhedrin, the 71 elders of Israel.
Yes. Knew his word. Come on, fasted, prayed. Come on, he did. He was at the temple. Yet he comes, talks to Jesus, and he's like, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you see how Nicodemus answers. He says, how can a man go back into his mother's womb?
Right.
So he's speaking spiritual things, and Nicodemus is speaking natural, earthly things. See,
well, the Apostle Paul wrote about this. He says, the things of the Spirit are foolishness unto human beings.
Yes.
The natural mind cannot see or conform to or understand the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. In other words, we have to have a different kind of sight. The Bible, God spoke through Isaiah the prophet to the children of Israel, who were the chosen people. And he said, having eyes to see not, and having ears to hear, they hear not. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and be restored, and I should heal them. So the children of Israel walked by sight, not by faith, except for two men coming out of Egypt. Only two men, Joshua and Caleb, were able to enter the promised land because they had a different view. They had the God view that's made them crazy in the eyes of all the rest of the Israelites.
Yes, yes. You know, everything you're saying, I love the Apostle Paul. And if you look at him in 1 Corinthians 2, and he's talking to them also that he doesn't come. Here you got all these great philosophers and great teachers, and he's like, he doesn't come in persuasive word, but in power and demonstration, and pretty much starts talking to them on how they were natural-minded. And if you remember, he goes into 3, and he says, you guys are acting worldly because there was a lot of strife and envy. And you know, I love those scriptures when he's talking about natural mind people, then he's talking about carnal people. So you can be a carnal Christian and be led by your feelings and your flesh and not led by the Spirit. Very small reward now and later.
Well, Paul wrote about that in Romans chapter 8. He said that to be carnal minded is actually wicked and evil, and cannot be subject to the law of God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So the fleshly-minded, you cannot persist in fleshly-mindedness continually and still follow and still claim to be following Christ. I think that's a non sequitur. Otherwise, then all of the children of Israel would have been allowed into the promised land. But God said, no.
Absolutely.
You're walking in the flesh. You're walking for 40 years. You rebelled, you murmured, you complained, you did not see things from my viewpoint, you refused to comply. I cannot let you into my promised land. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 said, that's a metaphor, a message for us unto whom the ends of the world are come. Therefore, take heed that what happened to them doesn't happen to you.
Amen. Amen.
Isn't that what he said, Juan?
Yes, sir. You got to be born again. You got to be a new creation. Come on, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation.
Well, the new creation has to show that the new creation is the new creations under the word, the will, and the ways of God, not just claiming the name of God.
Yes. You know, I the caterpillar and butterfly story is the perfect example. I think sometimes we just try to be a better caterpillar when he wants you to become a completely new version, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't crawl better when it becomes a butterfly. It flies because its whole nature changed, right? This is what happens when you're in Christ. You don't live by willpower. You start living by his power. And I see people going into, I want to be a better, you know, a better version of myself. That's not the gospel.
Well, that's exactly the gospel that Robert Schuller taught. He said that it's an abuse to tell people they're sinners. They don't need to be told they're sinners. They just need more self-esteem. In other words, they just need to be better versions of themselves. They don't really need salvation. And that was one of the leaders of the evangelical church going back to the 1960s in California.
Wow.
That introduced the church growth movement that metastasized through the entire body of Christ worldwide. That was that spirit, and it was the spirit of, well, saying anything that would trust God beyond the natural is crazy. Friends, you got to get a copy of this book. It will encourage you. $18 will put this $20 book in your hands. That's crazy. No, that's God. When the supernatural becomes your reality, in other words, becomes our way of life, becomes our way of living. Notice we're not talking about jumping up and down. We're not talking about putting on a show. We're not talking about whooping and hollering. We're not talking about that. We're talking about life. We're talking about the decisions that we make. We're talking about the choices, the way we see things. You see, the prophet saw things the way God saw them. He expects us to see things in that prophetic kind of a way. We may not all be prophets, but he calls us to see things from his viewpoint. Remember, he said, my ways are not your ways. The way I see things are not the way you see things. Therefore, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Decide you're going to serve me. You're going to see things my way. And if you don't, it ain't going to be good. You're going to become more crazy than you would be if you followed my ways. So $18 will put the book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. As our guest says, you weren't created to live a powerless play at safe version of Christianity. You were made to walk in bold faith, supernatural authority, the power of the Holy Spirit, every single day. And sometimes it may come forth in simple ways. When we get back from this upcoming break, I want to share with you a couple of simple things. And you see, not everything is grandiose. Not everything is like Catherine Kuhlman swooping across a platform with her skirts flying. No, it's simple life, trusting God, obeying his voice, walking in his authority, and we will have peace and joy when we do that. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
So good to have you here on Viewpoint again today. We're confronting the deepest issues of our hearts and homes from God's eternal perspective. And we may not be talking about economics today. We may not be talking about solving all of the problems of the world out there that are contained in the news media. But we're talking about living the life that God calls us to live by faith. And when we do that, it changes things on the planet. It changes things in our spheres of influence, and the influence then carries on. We hear all these people talking about influencers. Well, they're phony. They're phony influencers. They're make-believe. They're influencing people, but not the kind of influence that God would have us to make. God wants us to have the influence that he would have us to make, and that's when we walk truly by faith and trust him and walk in his authority every single day. Well, our special guest, Juan Martinez, with his book, That's Crazy, No, That's God, and I agree with that. He's telling us a bit of his story here in this book, and he spent 10 years in prison until God liberated him from the bars of prison, and he's a free man, and he's walking in the freedom of Christ, realizing that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Right, Juan?
Yes, sir. A lot of people want Jesus as a, you know, we were talking yesterday with the church about hailing King Jesus. And, you know, we love the baby in the manger.
Yeah.
But, you know, we forget he grew up to die on the cross.
Right.
And, you know, lordship is surrendering everything, everything. And I think that's where we struggle. You know, I don't know if you remember the rich young ruler, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He had everything. He had everything. Yet the one thing that kept him away from Jesus, he kind of points that thing out in his heart. He kind of leaves away sighing or in grief. So that teaches me that you could cry all you want and you could have emotions, but if you don't, that doesn't mean you're going to get saved.
Well, it's like the people today that want to be spiritual. You see,
Yeah. Everybody
wants to be spiritual. Generation Z wants to be spiritual, but they don't want the authority of Jesus in their life.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, you can want to be spiritual all you want. New Agers are spiritual. They even believe in the cosmic Christ. In fact, they're so spiritual that they believe that if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ and don't agree with their viewpoint, you should be removed from the earth.
Yes,
that's exactly what New Agers believe, have said in their writings, friends. So you're talking about a tension between walking and living truly by faith, not being a people of faith. That's not what God's called us to be. He hasn't called to be a people of faith. He's called us to live by faith, and there's a total difference.
Yes, I 100% agree. You know, I think, you know, we know the verse that says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. We have to understand that Jesus is teaching these disciples that following him requires a dying to self. No true discipleship without surrender. The cross is not pain. It's the place where your will dies. And so it might be pain to your ego, and it might be pain to your pride, and it might be pain. But you cannot follow him and take up your cross if there's not a denying of yourself. So it's no to your way, yes to his way. And then we're following Yahweh, right?
Yeah, like somebody might say, well, you know, I picked up my cross, the cross of Christ, when I confessed Jesus as my Savior. But Jesus said, you have to pick it up daily. He said, unless you're willing to take up your cross daily, you cannot be my disciple, which means that this is a constant life process. It's not a one-time thing.
Yes. And you know what? And let me tell you something. A lot of times when people say, well, you know, you confess with your mouth, but you got to believe in your heart. Now, here's the thing. That means you have to come into agreement. Confession in the Bible talks about agreeing what our Lord and Savior says. If you don't agree and you just say it to say it, they're not magic words.
Right.
They are words that have power when we begin to walk in the Spirit. When we begin to come into agreement with what he says is actually when we're confessing and believing in our hearts.
Well, the same Bible says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? So we can we can claim to be people of faith. We can claim to be Christians. But if we're not walking according to the word and ways of the Lord— you know, how can we say we're out of agreement And can we really say we're walking with Jesus? And if we're not walking with Jesus, who are we walking with?
Now it gets tricky.
Hey, listen, you know, I wanted to bring up something, because this walk of faith and trusting God can be done in very simple things as well. It doesn't have to be grandiose. I want to bring up an illustration. It may seem stupid, but last Saturday, I missed my cell phone. And I had not seen it for 3 days. I could not figure out for the life of me what happened to that cell phone. I told one person, a young person, I said, you know, I've missed my cell phone for 2 days. And she said, I'd be crazy. I'd lose my mind if I didn't have my cell phone. Well, I didn't lose my mind. In fact, I tried to find my mind. I tried to find the mind of Christ with regard to that. And so my wife and I looked everywhere. We turned our house virtually upside down 3 times, went into every nook and cranny, followed every pattern that I had followed for the period before that, had traced it all, stayed up at night, thought about it, and so on. Still couldn't find it. Tried to use her phone to find it. Couldn't find it. So here's what happened. I said, Lord, you know what? I have a need. You promised to provide my needs, and this is a need. I have to have that cell phone because this is important for what you've asked me to do. So I've done everything that I can do in the flesh. Now I need your guidance in the spirit. Now it may seem strange to say something like that. How could searching for a cell phone have anything to do with the spirit? But here's what happened. And this has been a pattern that I have noticed in my life for years and years and years. When I did that, it was shortly thereafter that the Lord prompted me with a thought. Check your robe. Go into your closet and check your robe. That was weird because I thought I'd already done that. Mm-hmm. I had gone through my closet over and over again. I'd gone through every piece of clothing I'd worn. Check your robe. So I went into the closet and checked the robe. Well, there were 3 robes in the closet. The first one, no result. The second one, no result. And I thought, okay, well, this is pretty strange because those are the only 2 robes I would generally wear. No, but there's one more. So I checked the third one that I'd only worn 1 time in the last 3 years. And there was the phone. Now, you say, well, that's just weird. Well, yeah, you can say that. But I'd asked the Lord very specifically. I said, Lord, I really am quite desperate. I can't do this on my own. I need to find that cell phone. I said, okay. And he put the thought in my mind to lead me right where it was.
Wow.
Now, you can say that's stupid. You can say that's nonsensical. No, that's living by faith. That's what I do. If I didn't live that way or try to live that way, Juan, I couldn't even be on the air with you today.
Wow.
If you only knew, if people only knew what led up to our being here today on this program, they would agree. That's why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. It doesn't say you're to be a people of faith. It says to you're actually, your whole life is to be a life of faith, which means you got to trust God. You got to trust him at every single turn. And that's the problem. We're not trusting God. We don't really trust him. God very happy, I don't think.
Yes, sir. It's impossible to please him without faith. Listen, I'm hearing your story, and what a great story. You know, it's a reminder that if God gives you instructions that don't make sense, don't dismiss them. What feels crazy, what feels crazy could be the very thing that brings breakthrough. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, it always reminds us that God's plan is still perfect, even when it feels painful. His delays are not denials, and his divine designs are just, they seem crazy. His mercy outlasts every one of our mistakes, and instead of trying to understand everything, God invites us to trust him through everything. And that's what I hear you saying. Stop trying to understand everything and accept the invitation to walk by faith and begin to trust him through everything.
Absolutely. And that's the only way we're going to be able to endure to the end. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, when his disciples asked him what would be the sign of his coming in the end of the age, the first thing he said, take heed that no man deceive you. He said, many are going to come in my name and deceive many. But then he said, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Yes. What did he mean by that?
Yes.
He means he who walks by faith and trusts me, takes me at my word, and walks accordingly is going to endure to the end. Others are going to fall away, aren't they?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, our hope is that, you know, I always think about, I don't know, because I don't see the side where everybody gets, you know, the water, he builds the boat, and all of those people who could have got on the boat, I'm praying that nobody misses the boat because they think something's too crazy. You know, whatever it is God has you building is always an invitation for someone to get on.
Well, we know that the majority are going to miss the boat because they're going to miss the boat because of fear.
Yeah.
And fear has torment. Jesus, remember, Jesus said men's hearts will fail them for fear, for the things are coming upon the earth. And that's what's going to lead the majority of people, even many professing Christians, to accept the mark of the beast, because they live by fear, not by faith. What say you?
Yes, agree. It's a narrow path. The problem is because we don't have a relationship, we're not abiding. When we don't have a relationship with Christ, we could get drawn away by every false doctrine and every word that's false. But when you have a relationship with Jesus, you where would we go? Because your words have life and power.
Yeah. All right, Juan, you and I are talking about the things of the Spirit here. We're talking about walking by faith. But the reality is that you and I face exactly the same tension that everybody else is facing. That's why we know about it. This tension between the flesh and the spirit, between the flesh and faith. We know that tension, and it's the battle of, it's the spiritual warfare that we face, isn't it?
Yes, sir. It's the only one that can rescue us from this body of death is Jesus. Amen?
Well, that's true. And so in the meantime, this is our testing ground. Are we going to walk by faith or are we not? Are we going to walk by our feelings and trust our feelings, or are we going to trust God and follow his word, his will, and his ways? Just think of that young man, Stephen, the first martyr of the church. Here he was, a man full of faith and power, and he was a very, very honorable young man. The Bible gives him great accolades. But the religious leaders of the day, like the kind of the pastors as usual of the church, brought him to account because they didn't like the fact that he was walking in power and authority. They didn't like it. And so they brought him to account, and he stands before them in the council, and he goes through the whole history of Israel and how God worked in the lives of the Jewish people, the coming out of Egypt, and he gives through the whole history. And then he concludes by saying, you know what, guys? You do always offend God because you do not submit to his spirit. And because of that, they rose up against him. In fact, they gnashed at him with their teeth and stoned him to death. Now, how did that young man stand courageously amid that? It had to be by faith. Amen?
Amen. Thank you so much. This has been a great show. Amen.
All right, my friend. Thanks for joining us here. Juan Martinez,
absolutely.
That's crazy. No, that's God. There's so many applications, friends. So many applications. I hope it's been encouraging, maybe challenging to you today. Cry out to the Lord. Ask him to reveal to you areas in which perhaps you have not been living by faith, have not truly trusted him. Get a copy of the book, $18, on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.